Politicians used last weekend's New York midair as a publicity op. NATA says the general media is getting the story wrong. And it looks as if the eclipse saga could be over this month. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, August 13th, 2009. The political pandering by New York politicians in the aftermath of last weekend's midair collision over the Hudson River is following a familiar pattern. Public officials with no expertise in aviation are calling for an end to the low-level Hudson VFR corridor, while at least one politician who's a pilot understands what that would mean. Congressman Gerald Nadler, a Democrat, tells CBS 2 TV in New York, "The Hudson River corridor is the Wild West. Quote, it is ridiculous that private planes and helicopters flying through a crowded area are dependent on visually sighting other aircraft and communicating with them," unquote. It's been 4.5 decades since the last time there was a midair over the Hudson River. There are car accidents on the New York State Thruway every week. I think it's ridiculous that private cars and semis driving through a crowded area are dependent on visually sighting other vehicles and communicating with them. Sarcasm mode off. Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer called for at least a temporary end to uncontrolled flights in the Hudson River corridor. One former air traffic controller told the New York Times that requiring radar contact won't work because tall buildings limit the effectiveness of radar below 1,100 feet in the corridor. He added that there are not nearly enough controllers to handle the increased workload. The FAA's Laura Brown points out that closing the corridor to VFR traffic would require huge detours for transiting aircraft. At least one politician, and that would be pilot and New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, has come out against new restrictions. Of the FAA, he said, quote, they know what goes on there. They are professionals, unquote. Perhaps triggered by Congressman Nadler's Wild West hyperbole, President James Coyne of NATA, the National Air Transportation Association, has jumped in to urge responsibility in media coverage of the accident. Quote, while events such as last weekend's are extremely rare, they do create an intense focus on the operations involved and can, unfortunately, lead to an environment ripe with speculation and misinformation, unquote. NATA points out that the characterization of the airspace as devoid of regulation is inaccurate. The airspace being referred to as uncontrolled only indicates there is no active radar-based control of flights, but operations there are still subject to plenty of regulatory requirements. The Eclipse Aviation bankruptcy may finally be entering its closing chapter. Aviation Week reports that Jeffrey Birch, the trustee overseeing the bankrupt company, has convinced the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware to set August 20th for a sales hearing, with an August 18th deadline for would-be competitors to better a $40 million bid for the assets already offered by Mason Holland's Eclipse Aerospace. To be eligible to compete in the auction, other companies would now be required to offer at least $42 million, with $5 million of that in advance as earnest money. If no other qualified bids are received, Eclipse Aerospace would win by default. If that happens, Holland's group could take over before the end of the month. He's promised to immediately announce a senior management team and start working to make available the upgrades needed to standardize the existing fleet. Up next on ANN, Canada orders $1 billion worth of Chinooks. But there's a catch. A new Austrian UAV joins Boeing's stable. And could South Carolina workers become a non-union option for Dreamliner assembly? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4 for Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 13th. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing says it's received a billion-dollar contract from the Canadian government for 15 new CH-47F Chinook heavy-lift helicopters, which are designated the CH-147 in Canada. The machines will be produced at the Boeing Rotorcraft Systems facility in Ridley Township, Pennsylvania, with deliveries expected between 2013 and 14. In line with Canada's industrial and regional benefits policy, Boeing will match every dollar spent by the Canadian government in acquiring its CH-147 fleet by partnering with and issuing contracts to companies in Canada, along with the reinvestments Boeing will make as part of the delivery contract. The company says it could provide additional industry benefits in excess of $2 billion over 20 years for in-service support of the CH-147 fleet. The CH-147 will be modified to meet Canada's operational environment. It'll get two 4,700-horsepower Honeywell engines and feature extended range capabilities and the ability to transport more than 21,000 pounds of cargo. Boeing is adding to its unmanned aircraft depth chart by teaming with Scheibel Industries AG of Austria to pursue marketing and support opportunities for Scheibel's Camcopter S-100. The S-100 is a compact, unmanned helicopter that provides a platform for a wide variety of payloads, including a stabilized video system for surveillance and reconnaissance. It can be programmed to fly autonomous missions or directed manually with a joystick and can operate under adverse weather conditions and beyond line of sight on land and at sea. Its data link range extends up to 200 kilometers with a service ceiling of 18,000 feet. Vic Swayberg, director of the new Boeing Unmanned Airborne Systems, said of the S-100, quote, "It will further enable our new division to deliver innovative solutions tailored to our customers' needs and budgets," unquote. You can bet that business and economic development leaders in the Seattle area will be paying attention September 10th as Boeing workers at the former Vought Aircraft Industries plant in Charleston, South Carolina, vote on whether to decertify the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, which would take the plant non-union. Boeing bought the facility from Vought in an attempt to resolve delays in production of components for the 787 Dreamliner, but Seattle area industry watchers immediately spotted another important facet of the story: the possibility that Boeing might have a second assembly line option for the plane. Boeing has warned for two decades that the strong hand given unions by state laws in Washington were a concern, and last year's strike by the IAM renewed warnings that if customers and investors come to view the Puget Sound area as a strike zone and decide Boeing's projected development and delivery schedules aren't credible, there could be repercussions. For its part, the IAM doesn't sound worried about the upcoming vote in South Carolina. The union's national aerospace coordinator, Mark Blondin, tells the Seattle Times the workforce has the right to choose, but expressed confidence. Quote, "Facts don't lie. Boeing does not treat non-union workers well," unquote. Still ahead, TSA and the DOT strike back at ExpressJet. Southwest offers $170 million for Frontier. And some NIMBYs just won't take no for an answer. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, August 13th. I'm Paul Plack. ExpressJet angered passengers' rights advocates when it blamed last weekend's 7-hour tarmac stranding of 47 passengers on a regional jet on the weather, the airport, the FAA, the lack of TSA screeners on duty, and basically anyone else but the airline. Now, it turns out the DOT and the TSA are not amused. Under the title Mythbusters, TSA's website now reads in part, quote, "Airlines, not TSA, make the decision on whether or not to deplane passengers if there's a delay or diversion. TSA does not prohibit airlines deplaning passengers and reboarding without screening, as long as they don't exit past the checkpoint. In addition, TSA has the ability to recall security officers and resume screening passengers after hours at the request of an airline," unquote. The Department of Transportation, which so far has opposed any binding rules for airlines to protect passengers, was put on the spot and is suddenly talking investigation. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood commented, quote, I have asked the Department of Transportation's General Counsel to look into whether Continental Airlines or its regional partner ExpressJet Airlines has violated any laws in connection with the lengthy tarmac delay. While we don't yet have all the facts, this incident, as reported, is very troubling. We are investigating the incident and will do whatever we can to make sure passengers are not subjected to such situations in the future, unquote. Southwest Airlines says it's ready to pay $170 million for bankrupt Frontier Airlines. That's way above the $109 million Republic has offered. Southwest competes with Frontier at their mutual hub in Denver. Buying Frontier would add several cities to Southwest's routes. The Associated Press reports that an analysis by Daryl Jenkins of the Airline Zone shows the move would give Southwest 36% of Denver passengers, right behind United's 37%. Southwest says it plans to keep all of Frontier's current markets, including Atlanta. It would also gradually replace Frontier's Airbus fleet with Boeing 737s, consistent with the rest of the Southwest fleet. The bid includes Frontier's Lynx regional carrier. A spokesman for Republic says the seemingly lopsided bidding competition is not apples to apples, and other factors make the offers closer than the numbers look. But analyst Helene Becker of Jessup & Lamont Securities tells the Associated Press that Republic has less in cash reserves than it has proposed to pay for Frontier, while Southwest is prepared to write a check. In a NIMBY battle that has at times provided high theater, the FAA has made it clear to the town of Grant Valkaria, Florida, that its attempts to restrict flight training at an airport it doesn't even own will not be enforceable. The airport, which has been there for decades, is under increased pressure from nearby residents, as is common in many parts of the country with growing populations. The airport is owned by Brevard County, not the town. But the town has tried to use zoning restrictions to block any new flight schools at the airport. A second, modified ordinance was passed by the town council in June and scheduled for public hearings. After reviewing the local law, the FAA's assistant chief counsel, Daphne Fuller, responded, quote, the ordinance would prohibit the county, the lawful owner and operator of the airport, from leasing aeronautical space to any flight school and or flight instructor desiring to provide commercial flight training or instruction at the airport. A direct effect of enforcement of the ordinance would be to restrict the type and level of flight operations that could be conducted at the airport. It's clear from the record that through its ordinance as approved, the town is attempting to regulate aircraft noise, safety, and flight operations, activities that are preempted by federal law, unquote. It would look like this one's over now, but we've thought that before. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, new FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt talks to an Oshkosh crowd about his aviation background, through the fence agreements, and more. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.